Queer FM Vancouver Reloaded on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. Playing your favorites for... Queer FM Vancouver Reloaded. Playing your favorite tunes and mouth-humping your ear holes full of voice talk. Yeah, we do that.
Top scant, Scotty spanks butts. He scants when he struts. No one told him never to be rude.
Boy,
he dresses like a gangster.
He wrestled with an hamster.
He's here to get you all in the nude.
Boys
and girls.
It's not just this scene old show on your radio. Scotty Scenic Drive, Monday, 11 a.m. to noon. 101.9 FM, CITR Vancouver.
What is sexy in Van City? I don't know. I think you're going to have to tune in and find out on 101.9 FM at 10 o'clock Wednesday nights. Stay tuned. Sexy in Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR. Welcome to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners. However you've decided to spend the hour with us, we're very, very glad to have you. This is a pretty exciting week in Vancouver in general, but in reality, it's an pretty exciting week all the time, but it's really wonderful that the Vancouver International Burlesque Festival is coming up on the 2nd of May, and 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, which is very exciting, and I've got one of our very own wonderful stars in this city in terms of the burlesque scene. You may have taken classes with her. I'm sure you've seen her perform. And if not, you probably heard her name and have possibly chatted with her on Twitter because she's a pretty stellar woman who's very social media savvy as well as a truly all-around just amazing woman. So I'm very excited. In case you haven't figured out who I'm talking about yet, I'm talking about the lovely, the spectacular, the amazing Lilla Frost. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Carolyn. What an introduction.
Thank you. So in terms of burlesque, how would you describe the burlesque movement in Vancouver? Because it's changed a lot over the last 10 years.
It really has, yeah. And it's vibrant. I mean, I guess that's the first word that I would use to describe it. It's full and luscious and diverse, and it really has come a long way. I've only been involved in this scene for 8 years, but watched it grow and blossom and change.
And how are some of the ways that it's shifted in some of the bigger ways besides the fact that there's just such a wonderful array of different types of performers and that guys are involved as well, which I love the boylesque. So,
yeah, it's a good addition. The biggest shift, I guess, to be blatant, is more. Mm-hmm. Of course, when I first started, there was very few shows and productions, and it was much more, well, you want to do a show, you do it yourself. but then troupes just started birthing, and more venues started accommodating us, so the movement itself got to expand and got more, it's still underground, but it definitely got more overground, more notoriety, and people started taking an interest in it.
Well, I think it's fantastic because with the festival being at the Vogue Theatre this year as well, which is wonderful, and then you've got the Vancouver you've got your studio, which I think is fabulous as well. Like that, there is enough of a demand where there's classes where it's not as sporadic. Where, for example, I know there was the Becoming Burlesque classes that the Screaming Chickens were doing for a while and do that, but it's nice that people can come in for classes and just really own their sexy.
It's very true, yeah, and The Vogue has been our home for 3 years now, which is incredible because, it, like we say, it did take it out of theaters or venues where we all knew about it and the community knew about it, but it really took it to a place to shine, especially on somewhere like Granville Street, where it's not really your typical burlesque audience, but we get to sort of pull it there. And the studio, my partners and I, Burgundy Bricks and Cherry on Top, opened almost 2 years ago now, but the Screaming Chickens were such a huge part of bringing those classes to light, and they do still do their Becoming Burlesque, and it's sort of a, we work in complement because the classes we do at our studio don't really do their same curriculum, and so once those girls are done at Screaming Chicken, they have a place where they can come and keep brushing up on skills, and also makes it accessible to anyone who's curious about even just burlesque style movement. So that's really beneficial.
What are some of the big changes you've seen in your students in terms of when they've come in from the very first time, basically, to after they've been there for a little while?
It's such a magical thing. I always think every time I finish a class or a stagette or just watching the progress, how their little lives just sort of light up, you know. It was always there. It's like we gave them permission to be themselves, you know, and you can kind of see this light grow in them where they're like, oh, something before told me I wasn't supposed to do this, and these women just gave me permission to not make me like anything else or make me a stereotype, but just allow me to be myself. That's really what we sort of stress there as we're teaching the style of movement, the sexy movement, sexy fitness, empowering feminine nature that we teach. It's sort of, I can only really describe it as a sort of light turning on and, slow, steady smile. And so the biggest changes I see are just their vibrance and their commitment. I mean, we've had students that showed up when we had never seen them before, and they're still there to this day, just rocking out.
No, I think I'm more familiar with, I'd say, pole dancing instead, because I used to teach. But with that, just I love watching people's eyes light up, where it's like the permission is, I love that word, because it reminds me of when they used to be a little kid, where as a kid, we're just fearless, where you think nothing of throwing yourself on the monkey bars and taking your feet off the ground and trying to hang upside down, or, you know, striking a pose, doing a somersault off a chair. Like, it just, nothing fazes you. And then somewhere along the line as an adult, where it's just that voice saying that you can't, and all of a sudden people telling you that yes, you can, it's okay, and letting yourself play in a safe space.
Yeah, the safe space is really ideal, and I do use out those words, and that's sort of something that we have conjured in and around our space, is that we're here to support you. Mm-hmm. And I know, because I formerly taught where you taught too at Tantra Fitness, and where I just felt that female camaraderie, where it's like, it's okay for you to do this here, and however you take that into your life is going to be equally as beneficial, because you've sort of birthed it and allowed it in a place where it was nurturing, as opposed to, you know, like down at those Granville Street clubs where it can be misconstrued, and it could be, you know, competitive. It can just be out of place. But if you learn it and cultivate it in a place of support, then it becomes really natural.
And I think that's one of the big things, too, in regards to the burlesque scene in Vancouver, and just with Tantra Fitness, where women are complementary towards each other. And even when we were talking about Screaming Chicken, where it's just in regards to working collaboratively and complementary towards each other, as opposed to in competition, where if we look at the history of women in general, just where for a long time, especially with arranged marriage, etc., where there was almost that undercurrent of competition. And one of the things I love about the community and how the growth and that it's changing is just giving women permission to just accept and work to collaboratively together. Because if we could multiply this by a billion and have that all around the world, I think the world would be an even more amazing place.
Yes, 100%. And I feel, you know, I started to notice that energy when I started practicing yoga like over a decade ago. There was that sort of feeling of, if we cultivate this feeling and that energy that it can spread and to get wider. And I notice now, like, a shift not only in Vancouver with teaching burlesque, but all over the world. You know, I follow some really amazing women and men across the world who teach this, and their murmurings and their observations are all the same, where they're just mesmerized by the fact that these women's lives are shifted by learning and being able to practice this kind of movement, because I'm, you know, of the belief that that's what we've been doing as women for centuries and centuries since the beginning of time. But like you say, somewhere along the way it shifted and we weren't allowed to do it, or it turned very technical and something was wrong. And the competition is something I noticed, because I used to be a competitive figure skater and when I was a little girl, through my teens, and I loved ice dancing, but there's something missing all the time, and that was that competitive edge that everyone had. You weren't allowed to be friends,
yes.
You were frenemies, you know, and always trying to up each other. And so once that element was taken away, this community of sisterhood, this burlesque, was a really great avenue for people to come back together and be supportive and be inclusive. So that it moves me every day.
How has it changed you? Like, because you mentioned you started off with figure skating, having the opportunity where you get to connect, get to be moved every day. How has it changed you in probably the top three ways? Because obviously over 8 years, there's a lot of evolution.
Yeah, it's true. Well, burlesque in itself has changed me, because it absolutely gave me a voice to everything that had come before artistically. I've done figure skating, theater, a bit of dance, and it's like once I hit that stage, everything made sense, because burlesque is so DIY that everyone's interpretation, you know, of what they want to express is valid, as opposed to a rigorous form, say, like ballet, where ballet is ballet. Burlesque gets to be whatever you want it to be, and you get to blend all these genres. So it really gave me a place to accentuate my voice and make my voice very valid. Teaching, on the other hand, unexpectedly is teaching me so much about myself. It's this beautiful philosophy that you can't teach what you don't know. Yes. And when I first started, I was like, oh my God, I don't have all the answers. Like, I don't know everything. How am I going to teach people? And one of my teachers told me, like, you don't have to have all the answers. You have to teach from what you know. And your experience is so valuable. So it really, again, it just taps me into my own strengths, and sharing those helps other people find theirs. So I don't know if that's a top three, but that's what shifted, you know, in my life.
And that's a huge shift, and it's a beautiful shift. How did you get into burlesque originally?
Well, it's funny. It's so, like, typical me. I'm like, I want to do this, so I just make it happen. But at the time when I was living in Vancouver, I had previously been working as a professional go-go dancer. I'd done some dancing overseas, and when I moved back, I moved to Victoria briefly and got some jobs there doing the same thing. But it was wasn't exactly what I wanted. It wasn't completely. I wanted more showgirl, more luster, and this word burlesque kept coming into my mind, although I must have seen snippets, but I didn't know what it was. So when I finally moved to Vancouver, the scene was disbursing. There was Sweet Soul, there was Fluff Girls, and Empire Burlesque, and I kept seeing flyers, and like a strange fan, I was collecting them, and I'd hang them on my walls and look at them. There's also a group called All You Can Eat, and they were kind of more rebellious. So I finally made it to a show, and then I went to two more, and I approached one of the producers at the time working here. His name was Chaz Royale. He no longer works in the city, but he gave me the opportunity. I went up to him. I said, so, I would really like to do this, which is funny because people do that to me now. And he goes, oh, yeah, I'll give you a shot. I'm like, great, when's the audition? He goes, no audition. We'll just put you up there. And I was, like, kind of dumbfounded, but it kind of goes back to the roots of that DIY nature. Anyway, I rushed home and was like, do I even own lingerie? I have a couple pairs of high heels. You know, this is like kind of where I was, and it just happened overnight. So I made myself a couple costumes. I had some help with some friends that actually know how to sew made up through routines, and there I was on stage, two shows, two numbers one night, and I guess I did well because I kept getting booked.
And yes, I agree, you do well and you're amazing.
And thank you.
For those of you people out there who haven't seen you, you're usually at the Kiefer on Thursday nights as well, right?
I am. Yes.
Which is exciting.
Yeah.
Mhm. In terms of your style of burlesque, because of course burlesque, if I remember correctly, it started the roots in vaudeville way mm-hmm. back when, and it's evolved a lot. So it can be pinup, but it can also be, I know one of the strangest, most unusual pieces I've ever seen was one of the Orgy of the Dead shows where, I think it was Melody who was doing it, where she was pulling out basically tufts of her hair and pulling out what looked to be intestines for one of them. So it was a pretty extreme piece.
Yeah.
So, and then I've seen Crystal Precious do some really amazing, a great one to Sir Mix-a-Lot's Baby Got Back, which
yeah.
just cracked me up. So, and she's amazing, and especially when she sings and raps as well. So it's just such an array of different types of performers. In terms of your work, your body of work over 8 years, how has it evolved in terms of some of the different pieces that you're doing, both group as well as individual?
The shift was funny, actually, because when I got into burlesque, like I say, I knew the word, and I knew a tiny bit about, you know, vintage showgirls and a little bit about vaudeville, but mm-hmm. I really came from a bit of a riot girl, you know, rock and roll sort of background, and I wanted my pieces to be like more like raw and edgy, but when I first started, they were also, I overcompensated with movement because of course you're just discovering the stage, and so I did more faster, more vivacious dramatic pieces, but over the years it's studying more classic burlesque and looking at the history and sort of really working with striptease as well as dance and movement. So it really kind of evolved from this rebellious, almost very neo side, and then incorporating more and more of the classic stuff. Not to say I do classic burlesque, but those elements get blended much more easily, because when you're starting, it's easy to, like, if you're a dancer, to put together a dance, you know, and to put together a costume and to take that costume off. But as you develop into this art form of striptease and what it means to choreograph removal and layers, and it not just be this sexual action, it definitely is and insinuates that, but it becomes this meaningful, soul-bearing kind of stripped down. And I think that those elements played to my need for drama and my need for deep sensuality. So I went from lots of movement and lots of, like, crazy to slow and deep and intentional. So this burning, like, I've been told that, like, I sort of have this, like, slow burn to my numbers, and I can kind of scowl. But, so that's, like, the evolution that I sort of went to, and some of the pieces that I started with, including one I do to Portishead's Glory Box, was the third number I ever did, but I still do to this day, but it's evolved, you know, so far because of what I've learned on this stage.
Which performers have you found have been most influential in terms of working with, where it's stretched you, like where those been those pop moments where it's like, wow.
Yeah. Well, anyone who knows me will know exactly my answer to this, because one of my biggest influences, even though I've seen her live, I've never workshopped with her, but I do know her personally now, but her name is Michelle L'Amour, and she lives in Chicago, and she is just, like, she's ideal for me. I watched her move, and her presence, her intention behind every movement was so evident, and her ability to hold space is quite powerful. So she was, like, one of the first performers I ever saw that shifted the way I could move. Again, that permission thing,
yes.
You know, because there's a thing that happens. I deal with it a lot with new performers, and even seasoned performers who, you know, want to be sexy, but they don't feel sexy, or they need to find their own voice in sexy. And I guess she really popped that for me, you know? Because trying to be sexy is not what it is. It's actually, you know, being yourself and finding what that voice is. You know, in Vancouver, we're, again, fortunate to have so many amazing performers. And some of the first people that shifted me was Melody Mangler. One of the first times I saw her perform before I had really taken off, I was like, what is happening? She's an amazing performer. My girls in Sweet Soul influenced me a ton and gave me so much support and insight. And when Burgundy Bricks came to town, she also shifted the entire community, bringing her awareness and her power from New York, really gave a great shift to the community. And, of course, there's other international people like Tigger. He's a boylesque performer, one of the first kings of boylesque. He's from New York. And Juliatus Muse obviously takes my edge of that gritty artist rock and roll thing. So, yeah, those are sort of top people that really shifted the way that I see burlesque.
Tell me a little bit more about the boylesque, because I know you've just brought up one of the performers. That's, because I remember the first time I think I ever saw was our very own, well, actually, I guess you're not CITR very own anymore, but used to be CITR alumni,
Teddy Smooth.
And I can still remember the very first piece I ever saw him do, where he did a Princess Cream and was a baker, ended up taking off his clothes and ended up getting whipped cream all over himself, and it was absolutely hysterically funny and wonderful. So yeah. And he's a great performer as well, and but that was the first time I'd ever been exposed to boylesque before, and it was neat, but now I see it more often and I think it's fantastic.
As do I. It's such a welcomed addition to the stage, and I love it. And there's again similar to, you know, there's a few channels on what boylesque is, and really boylesque is burlesque, burlesque is burlesque. But calling it boylesque is fun because it does insinuate the male aspect of it. But like the female ladies, there is a wide variety of performers who some are funny and some are dramatic and some are just this great blend of performers, and we have lots. In Vancouver, we're blessed with that. There's an all-male troupe in Victoria now, and some of the international men are just phenomenal. I got to work with two recently in Seattle, the Luminous Pariah and Paris Original, and they just blew my mind. Yeah, just creative and artistic, and their danceability was stunning. So they do cover the whole spectrum.
That sounds fantastic. I've got to check this out. So
yes, do. The Paris Original is competing for King of Boylesque this year at the Boylesque Hall of Fame, and he just has this wicked style of a highly trained ballerina. He's very feminine, but his movements are so powerful, elegant, and you're just sort of like, what is going on? It just makes me drool. He should be illegal, actually.
Is he going to be here for the festival?
He's not, but the former King of Boylesque, the winner of last year, Russell Bruner, is here, and he is also mind-poppingly amazing. He's very 20s Charleston. He's got that vaudevillian smarmy mustache thing, and he's just phenomenal. The ladies just fall out of their seats.
Well, it's perfect timing, especially with The Great Gatsby coming out soon.
Yes.
No, I think that's fantastic. And I just realized we do need to take a really quick short break because I missed the first break. So CITR staff, please forgive me. But I am speaking to a very delightful, wonderful woman. So you've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back in just one moment once I can get the things going. So there we go.
Want to know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled, would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the West End at
212 Productions Limited, The Baker and the Chef, Bang on T-shirts, Bistrude Records, Dream Apparel and Articles for People, Dunleavy Snack Bar, The Fall Tattoon, Fortune Sound Club, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinemathek, Perch, Project Space, Scratch Records, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
This Friday, May 3rd, at the Cobalt, it's Discorder's May issue launch party. Starring electropop outfit Fine Times from the pages of the September issue, and grungy psych droner Dirty Spells from the April 2012 issue. Come check out the new issue and boogie down with bands, contributors, and friends.
And we are back in Sexy and Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us right now, I'm talking to the lovely, the spectacular, the amazingly talented Lola Frost. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much.
And I just realized I don't know if my mic was on for that. So everybody, if you missed it, you're listening to Sexy and Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And I think that might have been my yours truly's technical glitch in regards to making sure. So if you didn't hear me, I've got the lovely, the wonderful Lola Frost on the show. And we're talking about Vancouver, the burlesque scene, and as well the festival that is coming up, the Vancouver International Burlesque Fest, which is exciting. So, Lola, what are some of the key things? So if somebody's never been to the festival, or if they go to Kitty Nights all the time and they get to see Burgundy and some of the wonderful people in Vancouver performing, or at the Kiefer and seeing you on Thursdays, what are some of the things they might see at the festival that they may not see regularly? And for some of their favorites, for some of our Vancouver stars, just some of the stuff that you think is worth checking out.
Yeah, well, the festival here is set up really well. The people did an amazing job, tireless hours. Mm. But it's set up that there's two nights at the Vogue, so the Friday, Saturday, but there's also a Thursday night at the Rio Theater. Mm. So what people might not always get to see is that the theater, the Rio, has productions. Mm. So it's people's own whole shows. And then they get to see this incredible production put on by the producer as well as the performers in it. So that's a really unique experience. Mm-hmm. I think there's three that night. And then, of course, Vogue hosting two showcase nights. So you not only get your favorite local honeypots like us, but you get visiting stars. So, and you also get guest hosts. So this year, we were very fortunate to nab one of the true queens, original queens of burlesque, Catherine Delish. So if anyone does not know that name, they probably know her protege, Edita Von Teese. So she is a pretty big deal, and we're really fortunate to have her. So you get special treats like that. You also get to see legends that you might not be able to see unless you travel to other shows like we do. So Judith Stein is joining us, as well as Shenandoah, who are just amazing women that were in the forefront of this burlesque movement. Mm. You get workshops. taught by some of the traveling performers. You also get Boylesque. Of course, we had previously spoken about Russell Bruner. Plus, there's some of the Victoria boys coming over. What other kind of treats? Oh, you also get, like I said, I mentioned the host. So you get Foxy Tan, who is just a handful of brown sugar goodness. She is one of the fiercest girls I met down in Minneapolis, and she's just, she fills me with joy, and she'll just have you right spooled around her finger. Crystal Precious will be hosting as well as Spittin' Rhymes for our entertainment. So it's sort of this whole really amazing package, and that's why the festival itself is so important. I mean, we can put on a really big production, you know, just one of us producers, and have a big show. But really, to have a festival, you get, you know, you get group numbers from out of town, you get duets, and you get solos, and you just kind of get a whole plethora of amazing stripteasers.
That's fantastic. In terms of burlesque, what are some of the stereotypes that you hear and hoping to make some massive shifts, because it's sounding like things are moving forward, but what are some of the stereotypes that you hear or myths about burlesque that it's like, no, that's not true, like in terms of fact versus fiction?
Yeah, I think that one of the biggest ones that comes up for me is that burlesque has to be sexy or burlesque has to be dance. And those are two huge myths that I feel that we, you know, need to establish as myths, because, like I have mentioned before, burlesque is a whole spectrum of art forms combined into one, and it can be funny and political and witty and emotional and very sensitive. As long as it's entertaining, I think that's like the biggest thing, you know. So yes, burlesque is sexy, burlesque is sensual, but that's not the root. And as well as, so that encompasses, you don't have to be a dancer per se to do burlesque. Burlesque dance has only come about because of using the word burlesque, which originally means to make laugh, coming from the vaudeville theaters. So you can be, as long as you have some sort of musicality or, you know, timing or a different intent, you can still have burlesque as your chosen art form. So those myths definitely come up for me. Also, someone always says that you have to have tattoos to do burlesque, and that's
really
just ludicrous.
That was one I wasn't expecting to hear. So.
No, it's so weird. I want to do burlesque, but I don't have enough tattoos. I'm like, in what world does that make sense, girl?
Those are interesting ones. I'm going to go circle back to the festival that's going on. One of the things that you mentioned as well, which I think is pretty cool, is you mentioned some of the workshops that were going to be taught by out-of-town performers. I know in the past they've been at Screaming Chicken. Will some of them be at the Vancouver Burlesque Centre as well?
They will, yeah. We donated our space to do the workshops this year. So they'll all be held there. And they're all on Saturday. And there's, you can pre-sign up as well as... We're only hosting them. We're not putting them on. We're just providing the space. It's a really amazing opportunity to work with people that wouldn't normally be in town.
No, and I think it's exciting too. In the past, with the Burlesque Fest, have you found, just from getting to connect, and I know you travel a lot because you're performing, but have you found in terms of the community as a whole, just almost gets sometimes more inspired because they get to see some of the creativity from not just local, but also from other styles, perhaps, that people are bringing into Vancouver?
Oh, goodness, absolutely. Yeah, it's an essential part to bring more ingredients into the chili. It's like the most random metaphor, but honestly, like, it's like a big old pot. The same way that we experience that when we travel to another city, bringing that into Vancouver for people that are either newer or just starting, or even like our beautiful trained and conditioned audience that is very amazing. We're blessed to have a good burlesque audience in Vancouver, that we just give them sort of fresh blood, and it's always inspiring to see what other people are doing and their flavors. And it's really fascinating because, you know, it's that whole inspiration by association thing. It's not like that you're going to change your style, you know, and become that. It just sort of infuses you with that unique art form that everyone's doing their own take on. And I think that's really important to not only give yourself that outlook, but also, you know, let our audiences see that.
In terms of going to the other cities, are there other cities in this world? And I sometimes think, because Vancouver's just so open, I forget that other places may not be as open. Or is there other places that might need a little bit more TLC when it comes to their own burlesque community?
From what I've experienced, you know, the scenes that have developed are really healthy. Like I said, I just went down to Seattle to do a show with Cherry on Top, and we were hired by Violet Tendencies to do her show for Love or Money.
Okay.
For Love and Money, sorry. It's a very unique idea about one act that we do that maybe we make a lot of money from, you know, do corporately or something. Mm-hmm. And the other one was that we do just for love. So maybe he wouldn't take that act to an average corporate gig. But
yeah.
Because this is our love, it develops anyway. So it was a fascinating parallel. And so being in Seattle, they have a gorgeous scene as well. You know, there's different troops, there's a few schools, and they all you know each other and sort of kind of get along. And I've always experienced that in burlesque, and I think again it comes to that place of the inclusion and the non-competitiveness, that everyone's just sort of there to be like, yeah, you're doing this, and we're doing this, and there's room for all of us. Let's do it together.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really experienced that, with the exception of a very small pocket, like very small, ever stand in the way of everyone succeeding.
Mm-hmm. How can we take some of those wonderful lessons that are being learnt in terms of the inclusion, the non-competition, the co-creating, taking that from the burlesque community? I shouldn't say taking from, but I may be growing it so it grows and starts to color and infuse in other areas throughout life. So for both men and women, where we can work collaboratively together so everybody shines and is better.
Yeah. I think that I see it a lot as well because I am now a full-time performer, full-time teacher, full-time artist. I notice it a lot more because I don't have sort of a day job, but other people do. So when they come to burlesque show or they come to the studio, you know, it's like their time, you know, to shine. And it's their time to kind of infuse themselves with this thing that gives them power, this thing that gives them purpose, and then is taking that away so they don't live, eat, and breathe burlesque, you know, every moment.
Yes.
We get to go and, you know, and give that to their friends. And, you know, they're like, they're inspired and infused by what they're learning or what they're seeing. And I think taking that into your daily life has a huge impact. You know, it means that we're not held back as people, as individuals, and we can really take that in and allow other people. And they don't have to love burlesque like that person does, but they can see that they're inspired beings, and I think that gives other people, it's like that trickle-down effect of living your passion. So, I mean, I first discovered it, like I say, in yoga, which was like, which you practice on the mat, you practice to take into the world, you know, and I feel that way about the studio. You know, we're here in this safe space, but how can you, you know, take that into your daily life? And maybe you see a girl just doing a slight shimmy on the bus, you know, and making someone smile, or, you know, it could be as grand as just having that really full sensation in your heart and just sharing that with a friend. I mean, I'm a big believer in trickle down, so.
No, I think that's true. And one of the things you mentioned earlier as well is just that wonderful confidence where giving people an opportunity to play. And if they start allowing themselves that opportunity in other areas of their life, so whether or not it's creating a website for somebody or I don't know, maybe it's, maybe at, if they're working at Starbucks, creating a totally different drink. So whatever it is, but just allowing ourselves to play in different areas of our life. Perhaps that might give us shift as well, because by permission, just there's so much personal growth that just happens, and it just inspires other people to have some more fun too.
It's true, and playing is such an important part of what we do.
Very much so.
People get so involved. They're like, oh, my number has to be perfect. I'm like, honey, we have to go play for a little while. Some bump and grind. Let's have some fun, okay?
So what's next for you after the festival? You're teaching lots. You're performing a lot. What else is there that you might want to share that we can expect to see?
Yeah, the next little while after festival is actually, if you can believe, a little more full than festival time. Even
okay.
I'm fortunate this year that I'm only actually doing one thing as opposed to eight for festival. It's kind of relaxing in a strange way.
Mm-hmm.
But next month is the Burlesque Hall of Fame in Las Vegas, which is the biggest festival in burlesque and the longest running. It's a reunion for the legends,
mm-hmm.
And a fundraiser for the museum, so that we can keep our history alive and in the forefront of people's minds. So we go to honor that. But the weekend is 4 days long, and it has one showcase night, a legends night, a competition night, and then an all-stars night, so former winners. So it's quite the event, and it's sort of like I call it the glitter pilgrimage. So we all make our way to the desert to collaborate, and the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of flood there every year. So this year, I'm blessed to be on the stage a few times, once on Thursday with my amazing troupe, Sweet Soul Burlesque, and we are doing Crystal Precious's new single, Apple Pie. So she's rapping, she's strip hopping on the Behoff stage,
and we're doing
our choreographed number, and they're celebrating her new video, Apple Pie, so it's really amazing. And then on the competition night, Melody Mangler and I are competing for Best Duet, doing our sensual, very can-con number. We do it to a Leonard Cohen song. It's quite lovely.
That sounds awesome.
My sister and Ruth Ardare, who is another teacher at our studio, are doing also competing for that, which is amazing. And then I feel very privileged and honored to be also competing for the title of reigning queen of burlesque, which is a hefty name, but a huge honor to just be on stage with women that I love and admire to represent the Burlesque Hall of Fame. This year, as well as Burgundy Bricks is coming to compete as well. So it's two people from Canada.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So there's lots of work to do next month.
Very much. No, that's awesome. If somebody wanted to start burlesque, so whether or not it was taking a class, because I hate to say bikini season's coming up, but it is, quite frankly. And we
Honey,
do think about this
stuff. Bikini season is all year round.
Exactly. I was going to say it's 365 days a year, but people do think about it a little bit more. And so they want to get in shape, want to find their sexy side, book a stag at. Any advice in terms of just being able to take that first step through the door of the studio? Like after they've gone online, they've checked when the classes are, it looks like there's availability in the class, and just getting that confidence, just in terms of any advice in regards to just saying jump.
Yeah, absolutely. I say jump, come on in. My arms are wide open. It's interesting because we get a lot of inquiries about that as well. And sometimes it's like, I want to try burlesque. And I think that people think you immediately have to get up on stage and take your clothes off, which is definitely not true. And why we have the centers, because burlesque movement, like I know you know through teaching pole and through doing that, owning your sexy and owning that passionate part of you, that all you have to do is move around, and what we teach there is not only, I like to say, a sexy fitness, because, we have names like Stripasize and Go-Go Fit, and it's just really vivacious exercise. It's not going to the gym. Ugh, yawn. So we try to provide that, but also for the movement classes, especially for drop-ins, they're all entry-level, It's very low-key and really, I hate to use the word again, inclusive, but it's not like harbor dance. Like, you know, I've been dancing for a long time, and I'm still intimidated to go there. I go there, I'm like, hi, guys. Like, I feel like a child. Whereas us, you know, it's taught from really level-headed, very all levels, really non-intimidating. All the girls that you go to dance with are really there to support you. You know, maybe mm-hmm. they've been coming, you know, a month longer than you have. You can stand at the back or you can stand in the front, but don't be afraid to come shake it with us.
And just out of curiosity, because there is a boy less, is there separate classes for the guys, or is it for everybody in regards to where they can come? So if a man's listening to this and wants to try, is there separate classes for them?
No, they are welcome to come right in.
Okay.
So because it's all just movement, unless it's a workshop. So we do specific workshops, and if there's one that involves certain elements of striptease, we will obviously make it for just females only, unless it's specified that it's not. But I have several guys that come to my movement classes, and I think it's rad because I don't change my teaching style. I'm like, well, you're in my class. It's the way that I'm moving today. And so you've got tall, gangly guys, like, rubbing their thighs and, like, giving themselves space in the mirror. And I'm like, this, like, pleases my heart so much because they're there to just learn movement, right? And they're just discovering it through my style or Burgundy style or Cherry style. She gets guys in her booty shake class sometimes, too, which is super fun. Yeah, it's really meant for all. It's meant for all people. And I also have Bruce Wang. He's a local burlesque dancer. That's right, I said Bruce Wang. He's a local Screaming Chicken, and he's taken my supersized fitness class. He just loves it. Because it's just really great, sexy style fitness that kind of changes the way you move your body. And we get sweaty, and we get fit, and we have a good time.
I love that. And I think it's important, too, because sometimes that gets people in there as well.
Yeah.
Because, when fitness is intimidating, sometimes it's hard. It's kind of like me. I still haven't gone to CrossFit, but that's a whole other conversation that's not meant for radio. Even though I've got lots of friends who do it. In terms of your teaching style, how has that evolved since you've started? As you're saying that at the beginning, you felt that you had to know all the answers, and now you've made it your own, where just trusting that all the amazing experience you've got. And I hear wonderful things about your classes on a regular basis. I've got a couple of my pole students who do go to you as well and swear by your chair dance class.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, chair dancing is definitely fun. I do kick some ass in that class. I'm like,
I've been
their
told.
Ass. Yeah, the evolution, I mean, to be quite honest, Tammy, you know, how I got my first teaching job was I was styling on a photo shoot, and Justice, Tammy's husband, was modeling. And I overheard him talk about her studio and how, you know, you don't necessarily have to be like a, quote, trained dancer. You just have to kind of know how to move. And she had this great studio, so I looked her up, and like I say, it's my style. Like, I want to do this, so I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Gave her a call and got myself an interview, and she set me up with a trial six-week workshop up at UBC where they were teaching pole dance. And I taught my first burlesque class, and I was when I got the job, I was like, yeah, I always wanted to do this. What am I going to do? And then I had to look at something that I had done and developed so naturally on my own to try and translate that to someone else. So it started, like, my whole mindset shifted on that giving of that service of breaking down my own process to give it to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And not have any expectations, you know. I'm just like, here's my offering. You can take as much as you want, and you can leave as much as you want. And, you know, and like I just know my performing even got better breaking down my own process. I was forced to think about it. And for me, I think one of my biggest strengths is turning vulnerability into creativity, because people are nervous when they come in to try something like this. They haven't, or they've seen it on, you know, TV or the stage, and are intimidated by it. So my job is to make them feel comfortable, not only with me, but with themselves. So yeah, my teaching style tends to be very much me and very much not my persona. I'm kind of nerdy, and I laugh a lot, and I probably have way too many TMIs as I'm teaching, but it helps me be really accessible. For me, that's, you know, I don't love it when people are like, oh, you're Lola, like, whoa, and I'm like, no, just a person, and I'm here to teach and to learn with you. I learn so much from my students. Like, you probably get the same thing. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh my God, I never even thought about, you know, adding that or flourishing like that. And it's a beautiful give and take that I'm eternally grateful. I think teaching saved my life, you know.
When you say saved your life, what do you mean by that?
Well, I just think it saves my life sometimes because, like I say, that selflessness, like, sometimes it's similar to when you get on stage, you're having a bad day. It's just bad. Like, things are just bad today. So you go and you teach because no matter what, you have to be there. And once you get there, this energy changes. You have these amazing students that are keen to just be there with you and learn from you. And so you have to put yourself aside and you give to them, you know, and it just shifts. And some days when you're having a bad day, that uplifting moment happens. You get to sweat a bit, you get to dance, and you get to give to these women or men. And it just really... yeah, it's beautiful. It saved my life.
No, that's so true in that sense. Yeah, I know when I started teaching pole, it was right after I'd had a bad breakup. And I went and took classes because I was writing a dating column at the time. And I was absolutely petrified to go to class. I was afraid I was going to have to show up naked and be in heels. I had no concept of what it was going to be. And ended up losing an inch and a half off my waist. It helped me basically heal on so many different levels. And teaching took me to another place because I just found it another wonderful way to empower women, but just really different from the work I was doing in the downtown East Side. And healed me as well in a way that was different, as much as I love taking classes at Harper Dance, and I really, really, really do. But it was just a different way of moving. And I liked the fact it wasn't competitive. It was in just that wonderful connection. So it was, it's pretty magical.
It is 100%.
So in terms of for classes, did you want to plug the website and just tell a little bit, because you mentioned there's drop-in classes. Is there certain ones that you're there for a little longer, like say every 6 weeks or 10 weeks or anything like that as well, in terms of the Vancouver Burlesque Center?
We do. We try to run progressives as well as drop-ins. They're always listed. I always say the best way is to sign up for our newsletter. We're not spammy, but we send it out when we have new workshops and progressives on the menu. So things that run on the weekend, things like Stripper Size runs in a progressive. Burgundy does ballet sometimes, which runs in a progressive. We do sometimes double intensives, like Cherry does her Girls Gone Gangster, so it's a two-weekend thing.
<That's awesome.
laughs> I'm doing like an advanced chair dance thing. So anything that needs to be pre-signed up for is always listed. And then, of course, our regular drop-ins during the week, so that's just for consistency. Burgundy also does a really amazing workshop for 4 weeks called The Elements of Tease, and so that's sort of like if you want a crash course in burlesque as a whole. It covers all the elements, and you kind of get a little intro into more than just movement.
No, I think that's awesome. And the website VancouverBurlesqueCenter.com?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And it's center, spelled the Canadian way.
which I love.
.com or .ca, either work.
No, I think that's wonderful. And is in terms of the workshops, because you mentioned that you're hosting several workshops during the festival, what are the performers that are going to be, and what workshops will there be?
There's going to be a tea with Judith Stein. So she's a legend that lives up in Nelson from, I think, 11 to noon.
Okay.
And then Catherine Delish is also giving her workshop, which is unfortunately sold out. I think it was sold out in 5 minutes or something. It's, like I say, it's a very rare opportunity to not only see her perform live, but also to learn from her. Mm-hmm. Russell Bruner is giving a Charleston workshop. Mm. And I believe Shenandoah is giving a striptease workshop, which will be amazing. Mm-hmm. Again, a legend. I got the opportunity to study from her when I did Teaserama. And is Foxy Tan, I believe, yes, Foxy Tan is also teaching a workshop called Fabulous the State of Mind. And honestly, to learn from Foxy is incredible. Those are the five workshops from 11 until 5 p.m.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, it sounds like it's jam-packed and really exciting.
Yeah.
If you could flash forward 10 years from now, what would you like to see the burlesque scene in Vancouver include?
I would really, really like it to include a burlesque venue. So, a burlesque house that is theatrical, that is dedicated to doing, you know, three shows a day with burlesque. And it's got to be obviously gorgeous and speakeasy style, but I really think that a dedicated burlesque venue, so that we could bring big shows to Vancouver, would be ideal. Right now, of course, we're spread out all over the city, which is fine, but it would be amazing to have something dedicated to the performance of what we do. Old school Minsky style.
No, that would be wonderful.
Yeah.
That'd be absolutely wonderful. And thank you so, so much for being on the show, by the way. You've been absolutely stellar and awesome. So, and if anybody wants to follow you on Twitter, your Twitter's at Lola Frost, right? All one word?
Oh, you betcha. I've got that branding down. I'm like, Aaron, where can I find you? I'm like, it's just my name everywhere.
Any advice for any dancers who want to, or somebody who's interested in terms of for social media, because you are very social media savvy?
Oh, thank you. I would say just grab a hold of it and observe. Like, I learned a lot from observation, and I've only been on Twitter for 2 years now, come this summer, so not even 2 years, and I had no idea how to work it. But I just observed how it operated and how people communicated. Mm-hmm. And like, honestly, my advice is the same advice I use for everything. Be yourself, be honest, and just say what's on your mind, you know? And another thing that I would add to that is be positive, you know? Use it as an avenue to, like, I believe that thoughts, you know, words and thoughts have great power. So everything that I put out, I try to make it be on, you know, a productive or positive note. There's the odd moment of a snark. I mean, you got to make fun of Uggs, right, within Vancouver. But generally, share yourself, share about other people you love and admire, and just talk, you know, just be honest. So that would be my advice. Get on it. Take photos.
No, I think that's awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. And listeners out there, I hope you're going to check out the festival this weekend, and as well as that, check out all the wonderful classes. And of course, before the week, oh, actually, I just realized, in terms of your show and everything, you are on Thursday with Crystal and everything. That's not at the Key for this week, is it, because of the festival?
Yeah. We are.
Okay, I'm confused. Okay.
We have to keep our show running on Thursday, so that's our job. So
okay,
it is happening at the Rio, but I, Crystal, myself, Little Miss Frisk, and Rita, and I will be
at You're going to be every... My goodness, man, and I thought I was a busy girl. Holy cow.
La, la, la. Yes, but I will be to Vogue on Saturday. Cherry will be there on Friday. But I'll be around, of course, at the Vogue on Friday, just observing my beautiful, beautiful co-hosts.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. And up next, it looks like we've got, it's not Hans von Claus. I've got, looks like I might have someone else who's going to be filling in for him tonight. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be right back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a wonderful night, everyone. Bye-bye.